There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby!
That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all here on this Friday. As we get this hour started, remind you, like I reminded you earlier, you have just, I really should say you have till midnight tonight to get in our college pick'em. In reality, if you get in before the first game tomorrow that's on the list, you'll still be in. But I hate to encourage, I've procrastinated about encouraging procrastinators. Get in. If you were in last year, just look through your email for Run Your Pool, like swim pool, and you'll see the link from last year. You can reset your password and get signed up there. If you've not done it before, go to our website, fmtalk1065.com, and along the top header bar, whatever they call that thing, you'll see it says College Pick'em. If you click that, it'll take you through. It has all the links. You get set up. Doesn't cost you anything, but you can win the fantastic prize pack. Big thank you to Spring Hill Ace Hardware for rolling that out, and that will be awarded at the end of the season. I think it was Sam earlier, last hour, asking us to have weekly prizes. I'm not doing that, man. You got to win the whole thing, baby, to get the prizes. So we're going to... But I do, wait a second, Sam, maybe you're right, because we do have a weekly prize as well, and that gets started today. So this hour, I'll be giving away the first of a season's worth of tailgate packs from our buddies at Basin Hills Farm. Joey has provided us a $100 gift certificate, so if you're drawn today, then you get in the mix, and you win you'll get the certificate, and you can get $100 worth of meat from Basin Hills Farm for next week's football games, or you could just eat it during the week. I'm not here to judge you. I'm just telling you what's available there. All right. So check those out. Your chance to win that tailgate giveaway coming up this hour. And your deadline to get signed up in the College Pick'em Challenge is pretty much today. If you do it tomorrow, just know you're living dangerously. All right, good to get this man on the air. I said last hour, you hear his voice on this radio station. Now to get him in studio is a lot of fun. He and I were hanging out at the Business Expo a few weeks ago. T. Bruce McKinnon from Bay Business News. Thanks for coming in.
Yes, sir. Glad to be here.
Are you in the college? You've got your you got your script A, got your Bama shirt on today. You got to get in the College Pick'em Challenge. You got to get in there. You could win fantastic prizes for just being able to pick successfully 10 games a week.
I'm in. I'm ready to do it.
Okay. I'm so desperate. I said that I was so desperate for college football. I found myself last night watching Colorado and North Dakota State on two teams. I don't think I've ever watched a game from. Except a matchup with Colorado with somebody that I was interested in. But that's how much I wanted it last night.
I've watched way too much news, and so, yeah, I'm thrilled to death that football's finally on. So I enjoyed the Olympics and back to news, and, yeah, so ready for football.
Football time for sure. Okay. You and I talked about this a second ago, and we'll get into Bay Business News and what y'all do online, what you do in print now. But you come at this from a publishing world, from Elevator World, right?
Correct.
Which is a
global publisher for the elevator industry.
And it's comes out?
We have 7 publications that cover the globe. So we've been in business 71 years. And so, yeah, we really track what's going on in the elevator sector within buildings, in the fastest growing markets in the world. India, Turkey, Middle East, all over the world.
See, I love this when I meet somebody who has an expertise in something that I am so ignorant of. The only thing I know is funny. You came in today. I was talking to my mother about something today, and she said it was the industry. Something about it was called elevators are called vertical transportation.
Yeah.
So she said, "Did you know that?" I was like, "I don't," but I know in the radio business with our towers, they call them vertical real estate.
Oh, okay.
And I tell the people, like, I'm calling from the vertical real estate department. I said, are y'all the ones with the tower? And they're like, yeah. So in that world, like, elevators, people use them every day. But I don't think other than looking at the thing that's printed that it's been inspected in there,
right?
Or seeing if there's
a lot of more, a lot of inspections. You know, sheets aren't even in there; they're in the office somewhere. So, you know, I joke all the time about elevators. It's like a secret business. Nobody thinks about an elevator. Nobody cares about elevators. Just get in there, push the button, hope the thing works. The only time you hear about it is when somebody gets hurt.
That's right. I mean, this is one of these things in life, right, that are they're used daily that people really, I mean, don't know anything about other than the places that don't have a 13th floor.
Right.
Yeah. That don't have the 13 button on there. But what you mentioned those markets. I'm thinking, you know, I was just thinking about the United States, but as second world countries become first world countries and move on, that must be a big growth in elevators out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, anywhere where, you know, cities are growing, urbanization is happening. You know, you look at places like Dubai, you know, many other places in the Middle East that we don't even talk about that much. I'm actually going to Dubai middle of this month for an event that we're putting on. You know, so that place is literally transformed in the last 20 years from desert to skyscrapers everywhere, and probably one of the most technological places in the world.
And they got the budget for it too.
Yeah.
I think it was in Dubai. Seeing some of the, I don't know where it stands, but one of those skyscrapers there was just incredible. I don't know if it's one of the biggest in the world or something like that. It was crazy how tall this was.
Yeah. The Burj Khalifa, I believe, is the name of it. They've changed it a few times, so it depends on what sheikh is owning it or whatever. But yeah, that's the tallest, and I think they're trying to build another one that's even taller. So. It's
good for elevator business.
Good for the elevator business. It's complicated though. Elevators are much more complicated when you're talking about a standard building like we're in, you know, five or six floors or something like that, versus you know, hundreds of floors. It gets very complicated.
And I know we're going to get into Bay Business News, but it's not every day I got somebody who knows what you do about elevator. Are they like? Is an elevator an elevator an elevator? Is there the, just the base model elevator? Is there a luxury elevator? Are there different brands that people, are they brand like loyal? Like, oh, I'll only run Otis is one I've seen, but like whatever it is.
Yeah. Certainly there are people that are brand. I mean, you know, just like anything in the world, things are based on price and performance. But yeah, elevators are pretty much a box and there's not a lot of differences. There are some technologies out there that are, you know, kind of interesting where it can kind of pre-know where you're going, destination dispatch, that type of thing. In the taller skyscrapers, there's multiple, the main elevator goes all the way to the top. Then you'll have other ones that all have different places it stops and, analyzing the traffic of the building. That's a big deal with consultants in the industry determining
How many people are going up and down,
or how many people are actually accessing that building, because buildings have different purposes. If you take a hospital or you take a multi-purpose building that has, you know, shopping, you know, residence and office all in one, well, the traffic of people is going to be different. So you have to calculate how many elevators are needed. Or basically it's bad customer service within that building for people to be waiting around forever for the elevator. Particularly in a big city. You know, here maybe, you know, Mobile, Alabama, it's probably not a big deal. But in a big city, it's a big issue.
Yeah, I just think, too, I mean, in the design phase, I mean, it's got to be, you probably over-design it for elevators, because once the building's built, I don't know how big a challenge it would be to say, hey, we're going to put an elevator in here.
Yeah, it's not that easy.
Imagine it, for sure. All right.
Not to mention they want developers and architects. I mean, they want every space they can to sell.
So, sure. Yeah.
So in
fact,
some
you're taking away my square feet.
Exactly.
Bruce,
some architects completely forget about the elevator, and they're like, oh, we've got to cut out space for an elevator.
Yeah. Well, you got to get the people up and down. Yeah. Hey, we're come right back. We'll actually get into Bay Business News a lot more with T. Bruce McKinnon when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 118, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. This segment show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. I know weekend's coming, got football, got Labor Day, but maybe you make that appointment next week to get the junk gone. Could be a storage unit, could be your business. talking about that with T. Bruce. You could also have it done maybe inside the house or this garage thing. I talk about it a lot. So garages, they're a cool thing. So there's these things they put on houses called garages where you can put your cars and trucks in there. I know you haven't. I mean, your neighbors didn't want me to name you by name, but because you have so much junk in there, you can't get vehicles in there. Get rid of it. The stuff you don't need, the stuff that's in your way, it's junk. It could be outside your house, too. So my buddy Trey, who runs 1-800-GOT-JUNK, the number of swing sets, above-ground pools, trampolines, storage buildings in backyards, big things like that he does every week would surprise you. And check out a service I've used personally, used with this radio station, so many of us have. Heck, go look at the Google reviews from your friends and neighbors for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So get that junk gone. Make the appointment today. Pick up the phone. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or just go online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, T. Bruce McKinnon, Bay Business News. I got to ask you, too, because T is for what?
Thomas.
Thomas, okay. Yeah. I was supposed to be C. Sean Sullivan, and I dropped my C and just went with Sean.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was a meeting. I think I was 11 years old, and I lobbied to drop the C on that. So Bay Business News, how long y'all been doing this?
Yeah, we're now a little over 4 years.
Okay.
Started August 2020.
So obviously the publishing side is your world. You get that. But you've been doing this for a specific industry 71 years. Elevator world.
Yeah.
But now this is not for just elevators, maybe this is for everybody.
Sure. Business only, B2B. That's where my background is business to business publishing. And I just really always wanted to do something locally. But, you know, I didn't want to just, you know, make up something. And so as kind of over time, as I'd kind of served on some boards, I realized that, some of the smaller organizations, their news really wasn't getting out.
Right.
Particularly if you signed up for, say, AL.com for mobile news. Business news, you would get Huntsville news, or you'd get, you know, and that really kind of bothered me. And so I'd had this idea before the pandemic, but we just didn't have time. Elevator World was quite busy, and I do a lot of travel for the company. And when the pandemic hit, you know,
we had a little extra time.
Yeah, man, I'm like, I'm not going anywhere, and you know, we've got time to do things. And you know, you rearrange the office, you do these things or whatever, and we decided, you know, let's try it. Let's do it. So I surveyed some business people, asked them if it would bring them value. And I wanted it to bring value to me personally. I wanted business news all in one place for Mobile and Baldwin County. I've lived here my whole life. That's all I really, you know, I care about the world. I got to pay attention to the world because they're the world. But I live here. I'm not moving.
Right.
I want to know what's going on in Mobile and Baldwin County. And they're one and the same in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that there would never be, you know, a Birmingham Business Journal or something like that land here because we have this big body of water that splits these two counties apart.
Right.
So we said, let's do it. And we hit the ground running, and it was a hit. People love it. And I've made lots of friends, very few enemies that I'm aware of. So,
well, yeah, and to get information out, too. So I've talked a lot of times to nonprofits about they'll have me come speak to them about how to get their information out. And I kind of go, I said, all right, you're probably used to people that are, well-refined in their delivery. I tell them, I said, quit making it complicated. Get the information. Let's talk about it in regular people language for these nonprofits. So when you send an email out or you send a press release out, put it in the language of the people reading it, not your own language. Make it easy to read. Yeah. And that's the thing about Bay Business News. It's easy to read. I don't have to know the intricacies of whatever widget manufacturer it is. I get the news in a way that I get it as a radio guy.
Yeah, I don't claim to be the smartest guy in the world. I want things simple. I want things quick. I think we live in a world where everything is shorter and quicker, anyways. And so, yeah, that's the way we did it. We actually modeled it after an email that we do for Elevator World that
okay.
has been around for a very long time, so long that it used to be a fax. So
okay, all right.
So you know,
hey, kids, there used to be a thing called fax.
Yeah, right. Nobody knows what that is. You know, these teenagers and stuff. But yeah. So yeah, simple, brief, to the point, and categorized. That was really the goal too, so that we would not miss any kind of business to business sector.
And as you look at that, I mean, you're now, you know, I talked about it during the news break. You are really at the narrow part of the funnel because here comes all this information. It's coming through you to come out in Bay Business News. So if I thought I was going to look for somebody who could see trends or what's happening around here, it'd be you, T. Bruce. I mean, you, like, everybody's coming and putting that information through you. So you get a unique perspective.
Well, sure. You know, I don't claim to be, the smartest business guy, in town here. But certainly the content's coming to us. We're reviewing the content. We're choosing what we think is best to go out. In terms of trends and things like that are kind of happening in this area. You know, obviously we've had, a huge growth spurt with the administration that we have with Sandy Stimson. Mm-hmm. And, I don't think that's going to change. I mean, there's a huge amount of money that's been invested in the area. You look at Airbus, you look at these type of organizations. I can remember traveling for Elevator World 10, 15 years back, and you would never hardly see a foreigner coming to Mobile, Alabama.
Right.
And now, I mean, there's just so much traffic coming to Mobile. It's unbelievable. And so it's exciting. And as a lifelong Mobilian, it's exciting to see that. But at the same time, it's a little scary. I kind of don't want my small town Mobile to change too drastically.
But there's all, you and I are the same in that. So we play this, the levers here, because I want growth. I mean, if you're not growing, you're failing, right? If you're not going forward, you're not neutral, you're falling back. At the same time, yes, I don't want to become not Mobile. I mean, a place called Mobile, but that is the generic American city.
Correct.
Now, how we regulate that, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. I think we're past that point, actually. But I do think things are going in a really good way. Certainly, lots of opportunities here in Mobile. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how. I think this is probably happening in many cities.
As you look at, you mentioned these big players. And they come in, an Airbus or something like that. But what is, and that gets the headlines, and we'll talk about it. But looking at business to business in ways, it's got to be the secondary or tertiary people that supply those people. I think that everybody knows the Airbus comes in. Everybody knows the big thing. But who's supplying them, and who supplies them that supplies them?
Right. Yeah, and that's really key, because those are going to be smaller entities that are employing 10, 15, maybe up to 50 or something, that are supplying those big guys, and maybe even a startup,
mm-hmm.
which is really exciting. And so it just depends, entrepreneurs out there, looking, paying attention to the, to the landscape.
Yeah, so that's what I was getting. So who reads Bay Business News? If you're analyzing, who's reading? Whether doing the online, or we'll talk about the actual good old-fashioned published version as well, who in our area is reading it?
Well, our target from the very beginning was to target seasoned business C executives, CEOs, entrepreneurs, those type of people. And that's who's reading it. And primarily our readership is about 98% Mobile and Baldwin County. I was just actually talking to somebody on the phone about it today, that we do actually have some from the Mississippi coast that
paying attention to what's
sure, because it's mm-hmm. really it's a smart prospecting tool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if you're looking at who's got a new office or an expansion or whatever, and you're selling whatever, then hey, you're using this as a prospecting tool. So our top readership is CEOs and entrepreneurs, top level management, but we also have a lot of salespeople and people that are, hustling.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, instead of having to drive up and down the roads and say, that place looks new, maybe they need a widget that I sell, here's one place where they can see if it's a place that needs the widget that they sell.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, let's talk about this before we wrap up. The website, the published version, how do we get our hands on this?
Sure, you can subscribe to our free weekly email newsletter at baybusinessnews.com. It comes out every Friday, 7 a.m. We've been very consistent for the 4 years we've been doing this to every week, 7 a.m., no change. The print, you can subscribe on the website as well. It's currently free. This first issue we did was our fall winter edition, and we produced 5,000 copies, distributed it to more than 500 businesses in both Mobile and Baldwin County. And our next issue will come out in January.
Okay, so that's the one that the top of the business reads, and then ends up, people can read it when they come into the waiting room on that place. Well, I like digital most, but there is some value in that it stays there and stays in front of people.
Yeah, print's not dead. I mean, some print is dead, but mm-hmm. What we saw was there was an opportunity, to be on that coffee table. There's mm-hmm. a limited amount of print on a coffee table today.
Yep.
So why not be there? One is great branding for us, but it also highlights, the amazing businesses in the Mobile and Baldwin County area. And that's really what I wanted to do. Hey, it's great to have a ribbon cutting and start a new business, but I really wanted to highlight seasoned business owners and businesses who have been around 5, 10, 15, 50 years. Because the fact of the matter, if you made it through that digital transition, I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And so I think those businesses sometimes get forgotten, and that's really what we're trying to highlight in the print.
All right, good stuff. So to get subscribed, once again, go to
BayBusinessNews.com.
All right, check it out. T. Bruce, people are asking, will T. Bruce be running for office anytime soon?
I have no idea.
See, there you go. They think you got a great political name.
I need to work on my responses to those political questions because I'm not fully trained yet.
Well, they're going off that you have a great political name. That T. Bruce McKinnon's a great. They can see it on. So they're just pushing. I'll put you. Hey, we'll put them together with you. Get the campaign started. You know, be a business.
Right. Side business. Right.
Yeah,
right.
Something like that. Like you need yet another one. Thanks, man. Appreciate you coming by.
Yeah, man. Enjoyed it.
T. Bruce McKinnon from Bay Business News, our guest. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile, 343-0106. Gets you through.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. It's Friday, y'all. I was going to say it's like the start of college football in earnest, but we've had games for like a week now, whatever that week zero thing is, but a real deal gets started tomorrow. I got Auburn coverage here at FM Talk 106.5 and the game and the post game and all that good stuff. And of course, on Thursday nights, you get Tiger Talk and Tiger Talk Overtime all football season long. Speaking of the big weekend ahead, let's do this right now. As I pause to see if people jump the gun. Let's do this right now. My buddy Joey Mason at Mason Hills Farm has given me these $100 gift certificates for great meat from Mason Hills Farm. And each Friday, during the football season, we're going to give these away. So you have the meat to cook, I guess, next week at your tailgate or your gathering. I'm looking for caller number 6 right now at 343-0106. 343-0106, caller 6. Going to hook you up with that $100 gift certificate to get that great meat from Mason Hills Farm. And by the way, he has a Smoke on the Farm event coming up very soon as well. We'll talk more about that going forward. But right now, your chance to win. And looks like y'all are all in on it. All right, good luck. And I'll come back to the text line in a second. Here's a story I pulled earlier in the week and didn't have a chance because I was at the battleship to have Erica Thomas from 1819 News on the show this week. But I think it made the WKRG newscast as well. And I know it made the 1819 News update yesterday morning and this morning. I just find this interesting. So here we are. How many decades of the of video bingo and gambling discussion have we been in the state, which, by the way, still, you know, couldn't get it done again this year for gambling. And I didn't like the bill. I didn't like and I don't call it gaming, the gambling bill. I didn't like it. And I'm not, my issues are, and I do agree with Jeff. I pointed out that if you say there are no societal ills that come from gambling, you're lying. But if you say, hey, I believe people want the liberty of gambling, I also agree with you there. We have this Byzantine system of, you know, you have the law of the state, then you have the law of counties, right? You have the Supreme Court makes a decision, then people are openly flaunting the fact that they're not following the law. Then I've talked to the Attorney General about this, Steve Marshall, several times about enforcing it. But this story has a nuance. You have an illegal bingo parlor. I love the word parlor, too. Anything other than grandma's parlor, you put parlor on it, makes it sound dirty. You have the bingo parlors. And in this case, you don't just have the bingo parlors, but you have theft within bingo parlors. Here's a story from Erica. It said, several people were arrested this week in connection to illegal gaming machines stolen from a location recently shut down by Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall. So you know, he's been on the show, said he's going to start shutting these places down. He's been doing it for a while here. So you get him, he says, according to the documents, so they shut down this one parlor. said, according to court documents, William Patrick Humphreys, 55, Eric Daniel Hurt, 39, Michael Ray, 56, Charles Allen Robinson, 52, and Charles Vanderford, 61, are all charged with third-degree burglary of an unoccupied building. Okay, so how does this play out? So they shut the they shut down the Selma Charity Bingo Parlor. I'm adding that word. It said the five were accused of breaking into Selma Charity Bingo on Monday and taking machines. Remember back in the day when they would show the video of where they had stored all these machines? We talked about this a lot on the show. They would seize the bingo machines and go take them in and keep them in a warehouse or something and have these machines. Well, this is where, so they didn't get a chance to do that here yet. It says the five were accused of breaking into the Selma Charity Bingo on Monday, taking machines. Machines were found later at Jay's Charity Bingo in Lipscomb, Alabama, with over 100 more illegal machines. All right, so these suspects, break into the Selma Charity Bingo, gets shut down by the AG. Okay, so it's shut, you know, locks on the doors, whatever, sticker, shut down by the state of Alabama. So the Apple Dumpling Gang here goes and breaks into Selma Charity Bingo, steals the machines, and they then took them over to old Jay's Charity Bingo in Lipscomb. So the next raid happens at Jay's Charity Bingo in Lipscomb, where they found the stolen machines in addition to 100 more illegal machines. Selma Charity Bingo was shut down and locked up by the AG's office last week during the execution of a search warrant. Four other facilities were also shut down. By the way, no word if they've been robbed or not. AG's office obtained a temporary restraining order to force the businesses to cease operations. So they can't be in there. But somebody in the I wonder if T. Bruce could put something together for illegal bingo parlors in the state where they could get their news together. Somebody figured out from the Apple Dumpling Gang that these machines were sitting there, and of course they wanted them. Attorney General Marshall said the property at the facility could not be used or accessed until further orders from the Circuit Court of Dallas County. Machines were tagged as state evidence and left inside the building. But then they were liberated. I'll use it. They were liberated by the Apple Dumpling Gang here and taken to old Jay's Charity Bingo. By the way, speaking of Jay's, the AG's office also raided Jay's Charity Bingo. But that was last year, 2023. Along with 13 other illegal gaming operations in Jefferson County. It is so silly. Where we are, one of two things. You know, even in this year's gambling bill that they brought up, they were discussing it. Remember they would say, and they've said this with Del Marsh's bill in the past as well, we need to get a gambling bill, or they call it gaming bill, through so we can enforce the laws against illegal gambling in the state. And once again, I'm not anti for the gambling. I'm anti for the bad deals that I've seen rolled out here. But are you telling me, legislative members, that the only way we can enforce the stinking law that's on the books now is to bash gambling so you can enforce the laws that are on the books right now? It leaves me slack-jawed. So good for the AG's office. And once again, it's not because I care about your bingo parlor. I'm just saying that if it's against the law, then it's against the law. We don't have to pass gambling to then enforce the laws that are already on the books. So, but it was an interesting story about shutting down one charity bingo parlor and having somebody steal those machines going somewhere else. Congratulations to Randy, the winner of week one or week zero? This still confuses me. I'm calling it week one. So week one of our tailgate giveaway from Mason Hills Farm. So if it's week zero, you can correct me. That still confuses me, but I'm going to call it for now week one. So congratulations, Randy. You picked it up, and next week you'll have another shot at winning the same thing, $100 gift certificate from Mason Hills Farm. All right, texters here. Ben said, back to the elevator discussion, the Riverview Plaza during Mardi Gras is a big elevator wait time. So, but do they get the elevator infrastructure to serve us then during Mardi Gras and then pay to run it the year round? I don't know. That's the only time I've ever stayed there, right, is during Mardi Gras. Let's see here. Back to the text from earlier. Okay. Kamala Harris said she would appoint a Republican to her cabinet. There are plenty of rhinos to choose from. here, you know, and having Republicans come out, the Republicans for Kamala, and they featured, you know, however many of them there are at the DNC. I just don't know how you square that. There are other Democrats that I have seen in the past that would say, you know, quite possibly you could find some way to have, I mean, RFK Jr., right, endorsing Trump. They line up on what? 30 to 40% of the platform? I would say 60% between them is a separation. But they found a way to come together on certain things. What would the Republicans for Harris come together with her on, other than disdain for Trump? But that's not a policy, right? That's not a policy that you could – I don't get it. And so the Republican – I mean, what position would they – and what kind of Republican texture would they put in there? You say rhinos, but even a rhino, there's – you could say, okay, well, they're socially liberal or socially conservative. Or they're fiscally liberal, fiscally conservative. They're Republican, but they're not. On all fronts, it would go contrary to being a Republican with what's being rolled out. On the fiscal side, how any fiscal conservative Republican would get on board with the Harris administration, I don't know how that's possible. This texture says, isn't the reason why BlackRock is buying up all the houses because Trump deregulation is because Trump deregulation the real estate industry, deregulated maybe, the real estate industry. That deregulation, if you look back, going on for quite a while, and BlackRock's move, look at who BlackRock donates to. I mean, you got to ask this question too. How many times you see Wall Street donating to donating to the Democrats, and wonder why that is, because what the Democrats are saying, what Kamala Harris is saying on the campaign trail, is, I would say, anti-business. What I've heard, and we talked about this the other day, I have no proof of its veracity, but the word is that in fundraising meetings that are off the record or, you know, not publicized, she's telling them, well, don't worry, it's not going to be that bad. So, you know, that I'm saying this to the people out there, but I don't really mean it, Wall Street. So Wall Street still gives them money. Let's see. Good point. Jerry in Fort Morgan said, recycling the machines, they sound like they're good-minded environmentalists. That's, Jerry, I don't know why I did not think that through. That you've got the Apple Dumpling Gang that stole the, liberated the bingo machines from the one bingo parlor and took it to their own. It was about recycling. David said, I used to work in the Riverview Plaza. Those elevators are slow year-round, including the employee ones. And by the way, earlier, too, we had somebody check in, I think, and if it's gone past me, so if I missed it, say the number's wrong, Local 124. So people check it in from the elevator union. Cool. I'm fascinated by things like that that we ride every day or use every day that I have no idea how they work. So it's pretty cool to get T. Bruce to talk about that as well. All right, coming right back, more Midday Mobile, 343-0106.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1:52, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Friday. Time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motorcars. People got the extended weekend ahead of them. How's your inventory looking? Is it holding up, my man?
Barely. Well, we've been busy. We've delivered three this morning, believe it or not, already, and we've got a lot of customers. We're still working, so we're going to be heading back out to buy more cars. I mean, we've had, I think, eight come in this week, so the inventory is still good. We've got plenty of trucks, plenty of small trucks, small SUVs and cars. It's just to find out for sure, get on the website, call and make sure it's still there, and come see us.
Okay, and also financing, how are you looking right now?
financing's fantastic. We got a lot of our lenders, you know, I told you they turned the screws. I think they've not been doing as good as our area has been doing, because I know Southeast has been doing pretty well. But there's a lot of lenders that are loosening up a little bit and trying to get some more business in.
I like it. All right. So inventory and loosening on the interest rates. So tell folks how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or just go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thank you, David.
Have a good weekend, buddy.
All right, you too. There goes David McCreary from LCM Motor Cars. Yeah, he was talking about heading up for the Auburn game. Of course, coverage of Auburn tomorrow right here at FM Talk 106.5. And reminder, too, of course, Tiger Talk on Thursday nights and Tiger Talk Overtime. So at 6 o'clock, Tiger Talk, and 7 o'clock, Doug Holton with Tiger Talk Overtime. Let's get the... Well, come back to the text. I did say, oh, except this one. Randy said eastbound tunnel traffic's backed up on I-10 to Virginia Street already. Going to be a long weekend. Yeah, you got the traffic today, right? People heading to eastward and heading to the heading down to the Gulf that way. You're also going to have, what do you think? Probably noon ish on Monday, 1 o'clock on Monday. It'll be backed up as well. Just even though I'm not going to be here, I'm taking the day off on Monday. I'll have a great show for you on that day, but I can go ahead and tell you ahead of time, traffic wise, about noon to 2 o'clock is going to start getting slow westbound I-10 on the Bayway. So I'm doing advanced traffic. Don't get jealous, Kane. I just have this ability. All right. Tuskers earlier asked about the owl story that Dan and Dalton were talking about this morning. And yeah, it's over. It's Brady Petrie's story over at lanyapmobile.com. And it's a story of several people here who've been attacked by owls, right? It talks about several people here. It said, for the past decade, Faye Dawson has been spending the majority of her mornings running across Midtown Mobile, doing so while remaining aware of her surroundings and any potential threats. However, while on her daily jog earlier this week, Dawson was a repeated target of an owl hell-bent on keeping humans out of the area. Dawson said, it's always been I've been a very cautious runner. Personal safety is something that's important to me. I don't run with headphones or anything like that because I want to be aware of what's going on around me. It's because she's a smart person, end quote. That was my quote. It said, while on her jog near Ravine Woods, so she's getting Spring Hill. I guess she mostly does Midtown, but I would say Ravine Woods. She's in Spring Hill. On her jog near Ravine Woods early Tuesday morning, nearing the 3 mile mark of her run, Dawson said she felt a tug on the back of her head and screamed, which prompted the culprit to let go. She said, while thinking another human possibly was trying to kidnap her, Dawson saw an owl flying over her head. Panicked, she turned and ran the opposite direction, but the owl then swooped down towards her head, not once, but twice more, before she was able to reach a friend's house for safety. Thankfully, the owl did not cause Dawson any physical harm, but the emotional distress was overwhelming, and they talk about this. They talk about other runners. See, there's just another reason not to be out running, right? Other runners that get been attacked by owls. The only one I can think... The similarity here, and we heard I heard Dan and Dalton reading some of the texts they got this morning, people's run-in with the owls. Owls are cool. I mean, you sit and hoot at them and watch them, you know, light up in the trees around you. That's always a thing we like to do on the banks of the river, you know, get owls to show up, and then they're illuminated by the bonfire you have. It's kind of cool. But they have one person here, Guy Oswald, in this, and I don't know if he has a ponytail or not. If not, my theory is... They're trying to attack the ponytail because they think it's like a squirrel that's riding on the back of your head. In the story, they quote my buddy here, Keith Golden, actually his wife, who's even better, Mariana. She is the Natural Resources Education Coordinator for the state of Alabama. And it says, owls are not attempting to attack humans, but rather are defending their nesting territory as they prepare for mating season in the coming months. So... okay. So, Mariana, are we going to I need to call her this weekend. I mean, she says that they're defending their nesting area. I think they think there's a squirrel on the back of somebody's head. All right. I got just a second here. So, John is in Grand Bay. John, I got about 35 seconds here. You got an owl issue? You got a problem with owls? What's going on?
No. I got a story. I was fishing one day with a cane pole.
Okay.
and I was pulling a broom out. And I kid you not, the owl came down. As soon as I pulled the fish out of the water, snatched the brim right off of the hook and flew away with it.
Okay, so it had to have been watching you and waiting for you.
I've never seen anything like that in my life. I don't know how he got it off the hook like that. I don't know. It was like a gently move or some crap.
Well, okay, so now it's not just joggers. You're saying I got to worry when I'm going catching bull brim about an owl taking that. That's a fear I'll take into the weekend. John, thank you for the call. Y'all have a great Labor Day weekend. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next.